you do talk about that in two different sections. In one of those sections, I think you mentioned, I'm not sure which country it was, it may have been Norway, you said, George, that they had accepted a lot of maybe refugees or people seeking sanctuary or something, but they did something different in that country. My recollection of what you wrote, and I haven't got every word memorized from the book, although it might be worthy to do that, you said that they apportioned them in the country instead of just putting them all in the same neighborhood, like often happens, like Minneapolis, St. Paul, right near where I live, you know, 75 miles away, there's a very big Somali community. And it's kind of like they're in an extended neighborhood in that city. But you said in the book that there was some effort to spread them out throughout the country so that actually they had a motivation to learn local language and to connect with local people, do all that. Is that something that's general in the four countries? Is it only one country? Is it a continuing practice? Could you talk about that?
It's a practice that really works well, and it's implemented most fully in Norway, but to some degree in the other countries as well, and it's really paying off. I made friends with a guy named Michael from Burundi, a recent immigrant, and asked him, well, what's your experience like? And so he described it in the way you mentioned. They're very contractual. They said, look, we're offering you a deal. It's actually take it or leave it. Leave the country if you don't take the deal. But if you want to live here, if you want to settle here, then this is what you need to do. We will pay you a living wage for a year, and we will find you a place to live. And we will find you a job as soon as you have marketable skills for a job. On the other hand, what you have to do for that is you need to study Norwegian for a year. You have to learn our language. You need to take courses in the culture so you understand us. It doesn't mean you have to change your values. It just means you need to understand us so that you can really live here successfully. You do need to take job training so that you will be a marketable worker for the jobs that we have in this country, which might be quite different from Burundi. And you need to be placed in a part of the country where we want you to be. And for that year that we're paying you a living wage, you have to live where we say. So I said, well, where were you put, Michael? He said, I was put in a little fishing village in a remote part of Norway in the Western Fjords. I was the only person with black skin anywhere near. I felt so lonely. And the worker who offered me the deal, you know, the government worker who's offered me this deal, said, this may be the loneliest year of your life. And he said, it certainly was. I just felt so lonely and a fish out of water and all the rest. And I said, so what happened? He said, well, as I said, I was lonely. On the other hand, I was learning Norwegian. As I learned Norwegian, I was able to begin to make friends. I also was able to understand the culture better and realize that some of the treatment that I thought was racist toward me was actually just the way Norwegians are with each other as well. And I learned to adjust to what was going on. But he said, I also was glad when my year was up and I did have a marketable job and I had the language and everything under my belt. That was the time when then I could come back to Oslo, and that's what I chose to do because then I was closer to people of my kind, because it is very comfortable being with people of your own kind. So I said, so what about integration then? And he said, well, I am quite a churchgoer, and he said that I'm a member of a church which actually is full of ethnic Norwegians and also of us newcomers. I married an ethnic Norwegian woman. We fell in love. We got married. I have a baby. I'm very happy in my church, happy in my job. And I would say I'm a pretty integrated guy in Norway.